Guten Morgen, meine
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and a very cordial welcome on the occasion of today's press conference for the first quarter of the financial year 2016. As usual, we are broadcasting live on the internet and we're translating into English. I would like you to switch your cell phones on silent mode and take pictures without using a flash during the press conference. Mr. Kayser will first give you an overview of the figures for the first quarter of the financial year 2016 and also comment on the acquisition that was announced yesterday. The relevant documents were already made available to you last night. Following the presentation, Mr. Kayser and the CFO, Mr. Thomas, will be available for questions at 8:15. No later than 8:15, we'll have to finish the press conference because both gentlemen will then have the telephone analysts call, and at 10 o'clock we will begin with our annual meeting, and you are cordially invited to follow the annual meeting in the media room or on the press balcony, and the analyst call will also be broadcast to the media room, and during the annual meeting, neither audio or video recordings are allowed.
Heimbach.
Thank you, Mr. Heimbach. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome most warmly to our Q1 Fiscal 2016 press conference. Thank you for joining us at this very early hour in the Olympic Hall in Munich. Before I come to our key figures for Q1, I'd like to briefly address the acquisition of the American simulation software company CD Adapco, on which we informed you last night in some depth. As you'll remember, as part of our Vision 2020 corporate concept, we've specifically addressed the issue of making Siemens a leading digital high-performance industrial company that covers the entire system of electrification, automation, and digitalization. Setting global standards in all these areas, we called it EAD, originally Electrification, Automation, and Digitization, a overall system, a one-stop shop, as it were, that nobody in this industry can offer at the level that Siemens can. And it's only logical that CD Adapco dovetails perfectly with this strategy. We are very targeted and resolute, and we focus on investments in the EAD system. And vertical software is part and parcel of this, which constitutes software that focuses specifically on individual industries' needs, meeting the requirements of our customers in a tailored manner. As early as 2007, we focused on acquisitions. UGS was taken over by us back then, specializing in 3D design of product development. In 2012, we expanded our footprint with the Belgian company LMS, specializing in simulation software. And then in 2016, the closing for CD Adapco planned for the second half of the fiscal year. The company is a privately owned US-American simulation software company focusing in a very strong growth market of industrial software, the Internet of Things, as it were, on products and solutions, and is excellently placed. Its client base is a who is who, as it were, of the automotive industry. 75% of business is in the automotive industry, but it's also active in energy, aerospace, and marine industries. CD Adapco is a leader in what is called computational fluid dynamics, as a term, which is software simulating flows, analyzes fluid and gas flows, such as air flows, along the airplane wing or across a car body, thereby optimizing design and development and the construction of these technical components. It's only logical that it replaces very expensive large-scale tests. It's a non-destructive testing In other words, saving a lot of money, of course, and even more important in this day and age, it saves time. Up to 35% of developing times can be saved, and for the manufacturing industry, time, indeed, is the critical factor. In industry speak, we call this time to market. On to our digital factory achievements. The unique portfolio in key industry customers, portfolio, for instance, in aerospace and automotive. And it is only logical that CD Adapco, with its leading role in industrial digitization, Industry 4.0, our footprint is expanded and our lead over the competitors is expanded likewise. For the sake of completeness, let me mention two other portfolio topics which we were able to close recently. We've completed the sale of our 49% stake in Unify to the French company Atos. This transaction marks a milestone, to my mind, in the Siemens history, completing the complete carve-out of our telecommunications business, which has not always been a success story. For 300 million, we sold our remaining shares in Savantos, our former audiology business, to EQT. From this, we expect for Q1, the first quarter, we expect revenue focusing our value increase of this business going forward. Ladies and gentlemen, we are very strong. We set off to a very strong start indeed into this new fiscal year. And in this adverse geopolitical, economic and political environment, you all know the headlines on the refugee flows, the tensions in the Middle East, the new normal, as it's called in China, and the developments in commodity prices. Nevertheless, our hard and sometimes arduous work is beginning to deliver and pay off the course we've charted with our Vision 2020. Order intake rose to 22.8 billion euros, a strong increase of 22% after all, excluding currency translation effects. And politically gratifying to us is that every, let me stress that every division in our business has gained. It's particularly gratifying to mention the large orders in energy, particularly Egypt, and also in mobility. The order book stands at 114 billion euros, the highest figure ever, quite a considerable value when it comes to order books in the history of Siemens. After several quarters of organically declining revenue, we've started the turnaround in revenue as well. And in the second quarter, we expect this trend to accelerate further. The revenue rose by 4% adjusted for exchange rate effects. Book-to-bill ratio, the ratio of orders to revenue, is at an outstanding of 1.21. In industrial business, we were able to increase profit significantly by 175 million to nearly 2 billion. We don't just want to increase revenue, but also the earnings, the profit for our shareholders. The margin is at a gratifying 10.4%. Here, too, the productivity measures started are showing their delivery potential. It's proving defective. And the figures are illustrating this time and again, particularly in the first quarter, we were able to improve that. Net income after taxes jumped by 42% against the previous year to 1.6 billion euros in industrial business. Tailwinds of non-operating businesses contributed to this 21% increase of return on equity. It's always good to have a very reliable CFO who's optimizing the company. This doesn't come about on its own. That is quite a good performance, delivering earnings improvements for the whole company. Again, we are focusing on finance. That's quite unusual. Financial services, let me stress that, at 21.9%. return on equity. That was quite amazing at adequate risk management. This is a tremendous performance. All divisions are in the black and all towed. They've all contributed. Let me stress, they've all contributed to this very successful kickoff for fiscal 2016. Let me turn to the individual divisions, beginning with power and gas that operates in a very challenging market environment indeed, characterized by intense competition and overcapacity and ensuing high price pressures. We are reacting to this with our PG 2020 program, focusing on improving both our cost position and enhancing our productivity, driving forward innovation. We are getting closer to our customers with that program. We are refocusing our sales to a divisional sale, and the Dresser-Rand integration is making headway, particularly when it comes to tapping synergy and expanding over our original plan. When it comes to order intake, the division benefited from the large ticket contract closed in Egypt, including service for a power plant at an order volume of 1.6 billion euros. It's a project to modernize the entire energy system in Egypt. That power plant is part and parcel of that project. As part of our realignment of our sales, which is very important because our customer counts here, quite a number of encouraging signals have appeared here in the first quarter alone. We signed contracts to deliver 12 H-class turbines alone. I'm talking about real orders, not declarations of intent. Those are hard contracts won. That's very important to note. In wind power and renewables, the revenue developed as expected. It declined. A corresponding impact on profit development ensued, but orders were up sharply, particularly an offshore contract for Galliper Offshore wind farm project at 1 billion, including a long-term service contract, was realized. Energy management is continuing its turnaround story with improvements in both orders and profitability. The division's revenue rose from the incoming orders. It did not rise but remained stable. It's very important to note that when it comes to energy management, we're impressively demonstrating that we are able to get our own business into shape ourselves. Building technologies, BT got off to a very successful start, particularly because growth in the fourth quarter of 2015 was quite tremendous, really amazing for both order intake and revenue. Here, we had a strong business in the U.S. driving our business here. When it comes to the Digital Factory in this difficult market environment, but structurally intact market environment, we're delivering excellent performance. I believe you can see this when looking at the figures. Likewise, we're seeing demand from China wilting. The short cycle business decreased moderately, but a strong order intake from Europe compensated for this to a large extent. The short cycle business, against expectation, have returned. It's all the more important that our software business in the Digital Factory developed excellently. The software becomes an increasing success factor in manufacturing and engineering, and with the acquisition of CD-Adapco, we will further strengthen our footprint in this area of the Digital Factory. At Process Industries and Drives, it's a different matter indeed. The team is now headed by Jürgen Brandes and has the task of restoring the business to its former glory. That's a difficult job and an arduous task because this division, like power and gas, has to contend with substantial structural challenges. Last quarter, our mobility business, which was speculated on when it comes to its future viability, is looking excellent, particularly because we've made it from a train and locomotives business into a digital mobility provider that is leading the industry in vertical integration matters. Mobility, just as power and gas division, has a substantial order book and in fiscal 2016 will be one of the most important growth drivers. The division landed several very attractive large orders, which are attractive in terms of quality across all businesses. For instance, the tram system in Berlin and the automation in the rail system in Algeria. Finally, let me take a look, and last but not least is the word of the day, at our healthcare business. Our medical engineering segment delivered at all levels. Let me stress this again, at all levels, they delivered a strong quarter indeed. This can be particularly shown when comparing them to our competitors. Since last week and this morning, we've seen the comparisons very graphically, and when I compare the figures on like-for-like basis, we can say that Siemens, when it comes to healthcare, is really the gold standard, the benchmark. In all regions, orders grew, and particularly in China, and the imaging business, particularly in the U.S., grew substantially, and the profit was at €500 million in that quarter. Please take note of that. That is a very positive trend, and it shows that our measures in healthcare as a company and company are showing operations deliveries, and they can focus on their core business even more. As you can see, we've set off to a very successful start for the current fiscal year. Despite the macroeconomic and geopolitical turbulences, we've good cause to be confident for 2016 to be a comparatively good year for Siemens. Comparatively also involves the business development expected for our competitors. For this reason, after a strong start into the fiscal year, we're raising our previous outlook for basic earnings per share from net income to a new bandwidth of €6-€6.40 from the previous €5.90-€6.20. All other information provided in our outlook for fiscal 2016 remains unchanged. Ladies and gentlemen, this year we'll be celebrating the 200th anniversary of Werner von Siemens. Our company's founder embodied inventiveness, entrepreneurship, and social responsibility as few other people have done. His values still remain the basis for our aspirations today. This is what we epitomize with our new brand appearance and portfolio, which we'll be presenting to the public today. From now on, the phrase "Ingenuity for Life" will appear underneath the Siemens logo. Of course, there will be comments, "Why is this coined in English?" We've intentionally done that in English because we want to underline our global aspirations when you compare it to French. Of course, you need to use the right term. "Ingenuity for Life" remains for us an epitome for inventiveness being a timeless concept, and this aspiration we intend to live up to both today and in the future. This concludes my contribution, and I'm pleased to take your questions together with Ralf Thomas, our CFO.
Thank you, Mr.
Kaeser, and we already have requests for the floor. Ms. Meyer.
Good morning. I have three questions. First, you already have booking gains because of, or have you already achieved gains from sales then on Sivantos? Do you expect a booking gain from the second quarter? You have participating with €200 million for the second quarter. That would be €300 million now. Maybe I'm wrong, Mr. Thomas, but €200 million participation, that was the first information I got. And why are you selling your shares? The company is developing very favorably, so aren't you losing money? Couldn't you have achieved more if you'd stayed in the company for longer? And the third question on the EPS guidance, which you increased to €6-€6.40. You're always comparing yourself with the adjusted value of the previous year, but the €6.40 is including the profit from the sales. But isn't that inconsequential? Isn't that comparing apples to pears?
Let me start with your first question, Ms. Maya, with regard to the real estate and participation results. We had a lower range of profits generated from real estate sales in the past year. And as far as participations are concerned, we also don't have any significant changes towards the positive in during the first quarter. Sivanto, as you already mentioned, is an event that will have its impact during the second quarter. Sales profit of 300 million does not mean that the difference can be taken over into the profit and loss statement one-to-one. So if you divide that by two, you would rather end up with the right figures. As far as EPS guidance is concerned, we were, first of all, very happy about the performance of the first quarter. It was very satisfying. And Mr. Kayser said that operative business was also quite positive, and the individual issues that we see below the line of industrial business, as we call it, have also developed quite favorably. But we believe that the momentum that we invested in quite considerably will be fed by the operative result and the performance below the line. And you indirectly asked whether we're advancing, whether we're making progress with regard to our measures. And last year, we reported for the fourth quarter that we already were able to make 400 million from the 1 billion. And in 2016, we said that we would end up achieving 800 to 900 million over the course of 2016. And we can only say that the first quarter is proving that this will be correct. And it's too early to already forecast whether at the end of the year it will be 10 or 20 million more than the top threshold. But we don't want to speculate, but convince by presenting hard facts. Unfortunately, the question is without mic, so it cannot be translated. Answer: well, we don't measure our participation or non-participation based on the current business situation. We have five strategic imperatives that we base all our portfolio and investment decisions on, and we looked at them, we scrutinized them quite carefully, and this business is not the focus of our strategic goals. You can see that we consistently change our portfolio according to our guidance, digitization of our core business, and investments where we see great growth opportunities with substantial profit outlooks. And a small equity participation is not a strategic focus. So it's always the question of finding the optimum point in time. You only know that looking back, but we believe we found the right moment in time. Please wait until you are given a microphone. I have two questions on the earnings per share and the forecast increase. Earnings per share always includes gains made from sales. Can you already tell us how much of that profit of the EPS is based on gains from sales, and how much might be added over the course of the year if the rentability, if profitability remains the same, margin operative business 10 to 11%, how can the overall profit increase that much? Can you explain this in terms that I also understand? And next question, you have the memorandum of understanding with Iran. By now, the sanctions have been lifted. Can you tell us what the current state of affairs is with regard to that? Now, on the EPS question and the gains from sales included in the EPS. Now, gains from sales first mean that you have to sell something in order to know how much of a profit you would make. But I already answered Ms. Meyer's question by saying that the increase of our forecast is not based on potential gains from sales. We increased it because we had a very promising start, both in operative terms and below the line during the first quarter, and we believe that this is a momentum that we can maintain. I already said with our efforts to save 1 billion over the course of the financial year 2016, we believe that we will achieve this because we're making good headway. This is also an important key point for us, and also when it comes to improving profitability in our so-called underperforming businesses, i.e. those that are particularly scrutinized by us, we are also seeing that we're making the progress we expected. Now, the relation with the profitability corridor, which is 10 to 11%, you are comparing something that cannot be exactly compared. This leeway between 10 and 11%, you remember last year we closed the financial year with 10.1%. We now have a good first quarter of 10.4% in operative terms. So there is still considerable upward leeway, and we would feel quite at home in the upper level of this corridor. And if we were to exceed that, we would give you that information early on. There's no reason for us to hold back on that. Now, I would like to answer the question regarding Iran. Before we do that, let me give you the overall picture. The assumptions with regard to gains from sales have not changed. And this also means that it didn't have any impact on our changing forecast with regard to the EPS for the year, and that should end the speculations. As far as Iran is concerned, I already said that we are analyzing this market in very deliberate way, and we have seen that the political development went in the direction that we're seeing today. And as a consequence of this, we talked to our business partners, to our customers, and you either reported on this or read about this, namely that we already signed a memorandum of understanding in the mobility division with regard to a considerable volume, depending on the length of the service treatment, of up to 1.5 billion euros. And Iran has a lot of opportunities, and this will not have been the last memorandum of understanding, but we will not go head over heels into this market. And when the embargo was still in place, we follow the stricter American standards, and we will do one thing after the other. I believe Iran is becoming part of the global community again, and the fact that this is the case is quite a positive one, and the global economy will benefit from this. And the same applies to Cuba. It's not just Iran, which has a different economic standing, though, but you're always asking in this direction, so I'd like to point out that Iran is one of the countries that also has a need with regard to the restructuring of the oil and gas industry that amounts to billions of euros. Iran has the largest gas field in the world, which is currently not exploring. And you know that the liquidization of gas is one of the greatest growth sectors in gas. We always discuss the oil price, but possibilities of cheap gas being processed into liquid gas and then being transported to Japan and Korea is something that's frequently neglected in discussions. But if we service the oil and gas industry, we service both industries. And when I see what the great opportunities are that we see in the field of liquefying gas, and we have those products and we have the knowledge and the expertise to be a serious competitor with regard to that technology, I would say that we've achieved a lot of advantages, and we can be successful and achieve orders and work with customers in that respect. Next question, Mr. Flemich. I have a total of three questions. Medical technology, healthcare, Osram, and you said healthcare is the golden standard, and that will probably be mentioned again today. What are the main deliberations here? Is it possible for Siemens, based on the structure of the company, to do without parts of such a constant profit-generating business? And then second question on Osram. Have you come to terms with the new strategy there? And if so, and if not, what needs to be done? And then third question on the next quarter. You said you expect a turnaround with regard to profitability, which will be even clearer in the next quarter. The operative margin, you were also quite optimistic, Mr. Thomas. How did the second quarter proceed so far based on your assessment? Now, healthcare. Well, we are happy when good people work hard and are successful. And this is a very clear appraisal of healthcare, which had a lot of work with its with its independence. And we are quite proud of this. And even if you compare it to the gold standard, namely our competition, and we do see that as far as imaging is concerned, imaging technologies, we are the leading company, and it's important for our customers to see this, and they do see it, and this is proven by their decision to purchase with us. And the second pillar of healthcare is diagnostics. And in the first quarter, performance wasn't that good. Also wasn't that good during the fourth quarter, because currently, as far as platform optimization is concerned, we are embarking on new paths. So to put it in a nutshell, we have a lot in the pipeline when it comes to improving and showing our strength on the market, and we're particularly happy about this. Nobody said anything about doing without this division. We said that the healthcare business needs to be given more independence so that we can react faster and better to the markets that have different market access than the rest of the electrification business, and automation is different there, and it is closer to cloud strategy, but needs to react differently. Just think of HR data, patient data, data protection, regulatory requirements, etc. This is an entirely different world also when it comes to coping with digitization. Healthcare differs considerably from turbines or from manufacturing automation processes. And if this is a question that comes up today during the annual meeting, I can more or less repeat what I said last year, because it continues to be true. As far as Osram is concerned, I believe that everything has been said with regard to that, and I think that's all I can say at the moment. Second quarter will see a we have clear order book figures. There will not be a spectacular increase, but we do see a turnaround, and that's important, because we said that following the years of internal focus and consolidation efforts, the brand efforts will have to translate into growth, and that is why we are working day by day. We work hard. We work in a very concentrated way. The restructuring of the group has come to an end, and the new energy that we now have available will be focused on the market and on innovation, and we'll invest there. Ladies and gentlemen, we're running out of time. Let's see if we can take all of the questions, Mr. Webb or your colleague, and then Mr. Höppner, and then we'll see. Let's move the microphone to Mr. Webb or your neighbor.
It is at home.
Good morning, Mr. Kisser, Mr. Thomas, Mr. Heimbach. I have a short question. What about changes in filling positions, more positions being filled outside Europe? The impression would be, particularly in the oil and gas business, that there could be new positions created outside Europe. And are you sure you can't comment on Osram? Is Mr. Berlin really the right person to drive forward value creation for investors at Osram? Mr. Keser's answer. Well, the change in staffing here is in full swing, as it were. Let me remind you of the fact that in fiscal 2015, 33,000 new hires happened worldwide, 4,500 of which in Germany. This is an amazing figure. This wouldn't have been needed to be done if we'd felt that it would have been better otherwise. On gas turbines, the market share of large gas turbines during the past fiscal year has risen by 25%. In 2016, it will continue to do so. It will rise further, so we are well placed. The market is contentious. It is a cutthroat competition among well-known players. You always meet in the same constellations, but we feel that we are winning back what we've lost over a certain period. As on Osram, everything has been said. Mr. Hübner, I have two follow-up questions and a third question on Dresser Rand. Can you comment on the business, how it developed in that quarter, including the condenser business? You said it's a trend change. Will the revenue growth be higher than in the first quarter in the whole fiscal year? And then I have another follow-up question on Osram, but you don't want to take questions here. Depends on the question, says Mr. Keser. Well, I basically have the same question. Does the CEO of Osram enjoy the confidence and trust of the Siemens board? Well, before Mr. Thomas will sort out the Dresser Rand figures in some detail for you, let me comment as follows. The organic business growth for the fiscal year is larger than the organic business growth in the first quarter. That is a sure bet. And on the Osram topic, it's important for management to enjoy the trust of customers and investors. And the customers are the most important thing, and we shouldn't blow this out of proportion. Osram has good technologies. It's a good company, and it has all it takes to be successful in that market. And there is no reason to voice any concern about the options not being there. You have to benefit of the opportunities, of course, as well. And it's all an excellent thing if everyone, to the best of their abilities, tries to service the market's needs and to create value. Mr. Thomas. Well, as for Dresser Rand, for us and for you, the most important question is, how is integration making headway? And the synergy potential is on plan. That was basically our question. I can affirm that we are making headway. The teams are on track, and they are seeing mutual synergy opportunities as everywhere in business life. This is leveraged. Integration charges have to be factored in. Restructuring needs arise. And as you can see in your press kits, the power and gas division restructurings amount to 20 million. That's the order of magnitude that come from this business environment. The integration expenditure or charges amount to around about 13 million euros in the first quarter. And with that, we are really on track to achieve what we're planning to with the integration efforts. Naturally, as you know from your daily experience, just as we do, the current market situation requires hardly any new investments for customers. These are scarce, few and far between, so it's hardly surprising that the business in the first quarter, or when it comes to revenue, we've not exceeded the guidance. But there is a clear data point proving the resilience in this business. That is very high indeed, because a large proportion is service business, which repeats on a regular basis. We have a very good customer basis, which we've been taking over into our company with the acquisition of Dresser Rand. And with our existing compressor business, 3 billion, to give you an order of magnitude, with a high proportion of service activities, we have repeating and good margin business. So in the first quarter, despite the headwinds blowing in our faces and the difficult investment context, our customer base is on a good track, as it were. And in the long run, the combination of these trust bases with the wide footprint and the customer bases combined with technology offer will, for productivity improvements, for new business, will improve our profits or keep it at a high level here. Well, Mr. Keyser, when it comes to the oil business, we see, you know, we're not looking at the price so much, but rather looking at efficiency or consumption, because the question of efficiency and consumption development answers the question of whether that business is structurally sound. If the consumption decreased, then we would have an issue. But the oil consumption worldwide is continually rising from 88 million barrels to 92 million barrels per day in 2015. And the latest figures for 16 are close to 94 million barrels per day. So demand is rising. In Davos, I had the opportunity of talking to some of the large ticket or very large ticket automakers in the US and talking to their CEOs. And they said they never had as many orders for the large pickup trucks as over the past months and quarters. You know, those are not particularly eco-minded vehicles, not particularly fuel-efficient, and this demonstrates that particularly American consumers, you know, what they save at the gas station is invested into higher displacement volume vehicles, bigger vehicles, and they're not going to sell them when the oil prices rise. Is demand intact? Is the business structurally intact? Of course, investments are postponed in various areas, and few are dropped entirely. Most are postponed. And when it comes to the extraction of oil, which is consumed, then for the service of the compressor, it plays no royal role if the oil transported in the pipeline is at $30 per barrel or 60. So long as you extract it and transport it, you've got to keep compressors in working order. The aftermarket business, as it's called, is very robust for that reason. And in many areas, the weak demand for new business is compensated by that. And I've already, in some depth, reported on the gas business lookout. There's another question here. Mr. Bühnemann, Niels Bühnemann, CBTUR Denmark. When it comes to wind power and renewables, there's been a contraction for both sales and profit. Was there a dent? Is that cause for concern, or what's the outlook? The answer by Mr. Keyser. There is no reason for concern. We're not concerned. We know that the structure of the order book would create a dent structurally as it happened. This is what we expected. And the earnings influence from this business drop or sales drop is right. Order intake is all right. It's a synonym for later revenue. You know, there are hardly any projects which are discontinued, hardly any of these, and we're satisfied in how we are holding our own in the market. It's not everything you can achieve, but we're well placed. And when it comes to renewables, we are investing going forward, and we're strengthening our market footprint more than we continue to do so in fossil fuels, of course, but we've got to stand on two legs, and storage is going to be instrumental. It's going to be a key factor. What is possible today, what is necessary tomorrow. When you combine that, you've got an excellent way of pursuing the energy strategy worldwide with your product portfolio to support it. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you were all able to ask your questions. You can now listen to the endless call live in the room adjacent to this one. A AGM is planned for today. You're most welcome to follow that. And on the 4th of May, we'll be publishing the second quarter figures. Thank you.